Thank you, Charlie. Thank you so much for the wonderful privilege and opportunity to join with you guys and ladies this morning. Thank you, Charlie. You know, I've known Charlie for a very long time, and one thing I know about Charlie is he loves people. And so Charlie doesn't throw these breakfasts just for fun. You know, he definitely has a genuine love and concern for each and every one of you, you know, your personal lives. You know, that's why he has the prayer request on the table. You know, he does pray, and as well as, you know, you just a concern that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with him. And I want to share some things with you this morning that may seem a little, it's not really depressing, it's actually encouraging, but I just want to talk about our times we're in and share a little bit about my life. As I continue to look at our times that we're living today, and I'm sure you see this every time you turn on the news, it seems that we're living in great times of uncertainty. It seems like we're living in times of insecurity like we've never seen before in all of human history. And at any moment, the world that we live in can just turn, you know, right upside down and become completely different. There's so much unrest and there's so much anger and there seems to be so much hatred in the world and a lack of love that we just haven't seen. And the storms of life are coming upon so many people unexpectedly. And these are good people. These are people that are, you know, they're churchgoers and they're not churchgoers. You know, they have a relationship with the Lord and they don't have a relationship with the Lord. But it just seems that in this society, nobody's immune to the kind of suffering that we're seeing today. And even as Charlie had mentioned, you know, we have people that they wake up one morning and they hear things like, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have stage 3 cancer. Your job position is just getting terminated today. A daughter can walk into mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, you know, I'm pregnant. Guy can show up at work one day or go into his financial planner, and the financial planner will say to him or to her, you know, I hate to tell you this, but your 401k has pretty much disappeared. You don't have any money in your retirement account anymore. And then, you know, so tragically, as it's happening so much in the world today, in and out of churches, people are saying, you know, I just hate to tell you this, but, you know, I just don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I just want to live my own life. Now, I don't know, you know, as you walked in the door today, I don't know anybody in this place, but maybe you're sitting here today and some crisis has hit your life in the past or lately. There's something maybe in your life right now. It's kind of rocked your world, and it was things that you didn't expect, but it's now having a negative influence on your life. It's ripping and tearing at your heart emotions. Maybe you're here today and your heart is breaking over some problem that you face. Or you wake up every day and look at, you know, you listen to the news and it's just so negative and it's so fearful of fear and depression. And you look at the world today and you say, man, you know, is anything good out there? You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So many people are living in this fear today that, you know, they can't have a good life. They're not going to be able to enjoy life. Something bad is going to happen to them. So they lack peace. And they don't know where to turn. You could be here today and you lack the peace. I know I've been there before where I've lacked the peace. And you look around and you say, well, nothing, I can't find anything to comfort me. I can't find anything that's helping me to get up each day and just face each day. And oftentimes, we don't even tell anybody that this is going on. We keep it to ourselves and we go through our day. And actually, on the outside, we look great. But on the inside, we're struggling, we're suffering, we're going through something. Something is affecting our life in a negative way. And so it seems just like there's a lot of bad news out there today. And there is. But I came this morning because I want to share some of my life story and I want to give you some good news today in the midst of a world where we have so much bad news today. And that good news today is that there's a God in heaven and that he's real and he created you to have a relationship with him. You're no accident. You're not here. However you came into the world, you didn't come into the world by accident. God caused you to be born. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:16, you were created by God for him. So God, of all of creation who spoke the world into existence, God says, I created you with all your flaws and my flaws and imperfections for an intimate personal relationship with him. God loves you. He wants you to have that relationship, and it's a personal relationship. And in the end, I'll just share a little bit about how you can have that relationship with God. The good news is also that in the Bible says that God, in the midst of our struggles and our difficulties, he's the anchor in the storm. He's the. It says in the Bible in Isaiah that when you walk through the fires of life, you will not get burned. It says when the raging floodwaters come upon you in life, he says, you will not drown. He promises that. And he says that when the whole world is shaken, there's a solid rock in which you can stand, and that's in trusting God, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with your situation. There's an old hymn that many people sing in churches all throughout the world. It's never disappeared. It's a classic, and the lyrics go, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." There's a sure rock you can stand on in the midst of the storms of your life, when things are coming down all around you, and that rock is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been a Christian for maybe 25, 26 years, but before that, I spent 25 years in the secular music industry. I had a childhood dream. I wanted to become a rock and roll star at age 16, and I spent most of my life pursuing that good 25 years pursuing that dream of mine. Early on in my teenage years, I got into drugs and alcohol that just began to take control of my life, and I had no idea 20 years later I couldn't live life without drugs and alcohol. I just kept working my way up through the ladder of success in the music industry, and around 1975, I moved to Hollywood, California to make it big, and things just weren't working out, and I was always escaping into the alcohol or the drugs to solve my problem. And maybe you're here today and that's something that you happen to do. You know, you escape the drugs or alcohol, you know, or you have something you go to try and solve the problem and maybe numb the pain that you might be experiencing. And yet you find out that the next day you still face the same issues. And I was there, and someone invited me to church, and you know, I knew enough about God, and I thought I was a good person, so when I died someday, I was going to go to heaven. But I never knew that God wanted to have a relationship with me, that I could know for sure I was going to go to heaven the day I died. And I sat in his church, and I listened to this pastor preach, and I felt, man, everybody in this church is going to turn around and look at me and know all, you know everything that's going on in my life and how I'm so hurting inside. And so I knew at that point it was a supernatural way, the only way I can explain it, where God was trying to speak to my heart and get my attention. Someone cared enough about me to bring me to a church to try and bring some hope into my life through Jesus, just like Charlie's been doing all these years. He's been doing this, you know, because he cares about you and he knows that God cares about you. But at the end, when I had an opportunity to give my life to the Lord and ask Jesus to come into my heart and life, I said no, and I continued to pursue my childhood dream to become a rock star. And then in 1978 or so, I signed a major recording contract with a Canadian band named Toronto After the City. My life went from standing still to warp drive, kind of like in Star Trek. I had standing in front of 100 people, 200 people, 1,000 people, 5,000 people, and as our albums began to take off, soon we were a headlining act in concerts all around North America, especially in Canada, and I was standing in front of 20,000, 40,000 people. In fact, this picture, I'm standing outside in front of 40,000 people there at an outdoor festival, and you know, you look at that picture, and obviously I don't look that same. The hair doesn't seem to grow like that any longer, and it's definitely not brown like that. The more I look in the mirror, the more I see more gray, and I seem to think I'm losing my hair, but hoping it's just psychological. And so I'm up there in front of 40,000 people, and one day I just realized, man, you know, I've made it. I'm a star, man. I've attained my childhood dream, and you know, it's all about me. You know, I had a bad attitude. I was arrogant. I was vain. I was stuck up. Nobody told me what to do. I thought I knew everything. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. You know, and you'd see my face in the newspapers and in the magazines and the photographs and the autograph sessions. I mean, I really looked like a happy guy. I look like, you know, I had it made, and teenagers, even today, still when I minister and speak at youth groups, they still see this guy somehow, and, you know, many want to be a rock star, and they think it's such a glorious life, and everything's awesome when you get there, and to a certain extent, it was, because I had a lot of friends. I could get anything I wanted, do whatever I wanted. You know, people thought I had it all, and yet, you know, they never saw that inside something was missing in my life. You see, because I attained my childhood dream, and yet deep in my heart, nobody knew I wasn't really happy. I was saying to myself, there's got to be more to life than this.
there's got to be something else besides this. And because there was something missing, it's like I had a hole in my heart. What did I do to try and fill that hole? I did all I only knew how to do. I didn't go back and try and remember the God I heard about in 1975. I went ahead and I started to immerse myself in sex, drugs, and rock and roll, like to in excess. Grossly, sexually immoral lifestyle. You know, I chased every girl I could. I was thinking if I fell in love with a girl, you know, that maybe, you know, I could find happiness. But I never really found any happiness in all of those immoral relationships I had. I did more drugs. I was into amphetamines, barbiturates, uppers, downers, cocaine. I mixed and matched everything. And yet, every morning I woke up, I still faced the same emptiness, the same loneliness. And ultimately, I trashed my life on sex, drugs, and rock and roll, my bad attitude, and all the other wrong thinking that I had going on in my life, and I lost my recording contract. I lost everything I just spent my whole life to try and get to. I lost it. I trashed my life, and I ended up going from rock star to rock bottom. I bottomed out. And for many years, I walked around trying to become a star again. It never happened. I just kept getting going down lower and lower and lower, and I was getting depressed, and I was feeling like things were hopeless for me, and I was wondering if I was ever going to have any kind of good life. And there were times when I even wondered, is my life even worth living? Is it worth living? And then in 1988, I end up at this Billy Graham crusade, and I knew I was going someplace to hear about God, you know, and I knew, you know, so I knew what I was in for, and I had no place else to turn. I tried everything my way, and my way wasn't working, so I ended up going to Billy Graham crusade, and again, this time, I heard again that, you know, there's a God in heaven, he loves me, that he wants a personal relationship with me. And I didn't have a personal relationship because the Bible says I had sinned. I'd broken God's laws. I was living life my way. I wasn't living life God's way. And so therefore, the Bible called me a sinner. And the Bible says that, you know, sinners just don't go to heaven. I my heart wasn't right with God. It was like my heart was black and dirty with sin. And God wouldn't let me into heaven as a sinner. And the reason that, and because of my sin, I was separated from God. And therefore, I would never find real deep inner peace, happiness, and hope apart from a relationship with Christ. And I needed to ask him to come into my life, forgive my sins, and surrender my life to Jesus. And when I did that, I knew, I would know that I was going to go to heaven when I died and not the other place called hell, because hell is a place set apart for those who have rejected God's love. They have hearts full of sin, and they don't have Jesus Christ in their life. And I heard that, and I said, okay, I know I broke every one of God's Ten Commandments. I know I've really messed up. My life is really is not going well at all. And yet, I need some hope and peace, and I definitely don't want to go to hell. And even though I thought I was a good person, from God's perspective, I'm only going to get into heaven with a relationship with Christ and having Christ in my life and my sins forgiven. So that day in 1988, I went down front of 5,000 people, and I surrendered control of my life to Jesus Christ, and I said, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Help me to turn my life around. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And about 3 or 4 days later, I recognized that my 20-year habitual dependency on drugs and alcohol had totally disappeared. I mean, I was doing cocaine, I was snorting speed, I was smoking stuff, drinking stuff, mixing it up, and God in some way said, you know, there's a hole in your heart, you're trying to fill with sex, drugs, and all kinds of other things, but I'm going to fill that hole that in your heart with my love. And the only way I can explain it is God took that instantly away from me. I didn't go to doctors. I didn't go to therapy. Now, people look and sometimes talk to me, and they think my mind has never really recovered from the drugs and the alcohol because I can do some crazy things or say some off-the-wall things sometimes. But God has blessed my life. I'm perfectly healthy. I don't suffer from the effects of the drugs and the alcohol. And God has changed my life. And when I made that decision, I had this sense of peace and hope come over me that I had never had before in my life. Everything I was experiencing, the negative stuff, started to change in my life. And I was actually feeling pretty good. I knew that I had made the right decision at that point in my life. And I wasn't sure what was ahead of me, but I just knew that I was trusting God now because my way wasn't working. And maybe you're here today and you sit here and say, you know, I got to admit my life hasn't been working my way. I just want to encourage you today in a few moments. I'll just give you an opportunity and you can surrender your life to Christ, as you've heard many times before if you've come here, and begin the best relationship you're ever going to have in your life. But sure, I began to recognize my life had changed. And so shortly after, I had gotten married and my life was slowly improving. Things were
things were changing. It took some work, but God was guiding me through this. And I began to work with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I became a chaplain, and when disasters would hit, like Hurricane Katrina, I would fly down to New Orleans, 10 days out of every month for about 2 years, and minister and help bring the comfort and the love of Jesus to the people that had lost everything. They were hurting in their life, and they didn't know where to turn. They had lost everything. I'd been to New Orleans. I'd been to about 10 tornado sites, and as I would walk among the wreckage, and I would see the waste, and I would see how many people didn't have any peace in their life, and how much they had lost. Many, in the blink of an eye, had invested all their life savings into a $1 million home in New Orleans, and then just like that, in a matter of days, everything was gone. They had no insurance. They had spent all their retirement money, 65 years old, nothing left to their name, and they have to start their life over. And they would talk to me, and they would ask questions. They would say, like, why me? Why did this happen to me? It just doesn't seem fair. And I'm walking among these people, and their lives are short-circuited. They're in shock. They're devastated. I heard hundreds of teary-eyed stories and heartbreaking stories from people who they woke up one day and their life radically turned around in an instant, and they're asking me for help. And I'm saying to myself, I'm looking at standing in front of a house that used to be there and a family standing in front of their devastated site that just got demolished by a tornado, and I'm saying, what do I have to offer these people? I can't help all these people. What do I say? And I said to myself, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say to these people. And yet, I knew there was something I could say. And what I could say to them is what I knew had worked for me. That there's a God in heaven, and He loves you. And God can bring you comfort. And God can bring you peace. And God can give you a new start. And it may not be the life that you used to have, but it can still be a good life. And God can redeem your life. He can restore your life. If you would just trust Him. The Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. The Bible says that if you put your hope in God, He'll renew your strength. He'll get you through what you're going through. I had watched people with all hope is gone. They've lost everything they've owned. They come to a place where they finally said, I'm going to recognize that my hope needs to be in God. I'm going to trust Him. And so they would surrender their lives as we would pray, and they would ask Christ to come into their life, and then we would pray with them. And it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. I don't even know if I can explain it to you. But I would pray with somebody. I remember praying once with this police officer. He was bulked up. He's in the pouring rain. He's sitting on a motorcycle guarding this whole area here. And he's just huge, man. And I'm thinking, it's pouring rain. He says, I'm going to go over and talk to this police officer. So I go over to him, and I start talking to him, and I said, how you making out through all this? And he looks at me and he says, I'm not doing really good. I haven't seen my family in 3 months. I sit out here and I freeze, and I don't know if people know how hard I really work out here. And I said, well, God knows, and God loves you. And, can I pray for you? That's all. I didn't preach a long, hour-long message like you'd hear in church. I just said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for that God would comfort him and bring him peace. And this big motorcycle guy, he just starts crying like a baby. And I'm like blown away. I'm saying, I can't believe this, in my mind anyway. I didn't say it out loud. I'm just saying, I can't believe this guy's crying. And I realized, and that's just that special moment that I prayed comfort and peace upon a man who didn't have any. And God met him on this motorcycle in the pouring rain. Nobody's around but me and him and another guy. And this guy found peace in God. It was a moment that was one that I would never forget. And so many times I had heard people say, why did God cause this to happen to me? And I've come to understand, knowing God as long as I have for 25 years, that God never causes anything bad. We blame God for so many things.
God didn't cause 9/11. God didn't cause, you know, a tornado to come. God is a good God, the Bible says. The Bible says God is so good, there's no evil in God. There's no bad in God. So God can't give out anything that something he doesn't have. And there's no bad in God. He can't give bad. But we live in a world where there's a lot of messed up people. There's a lot of sin in the world today. There's a lot of people that they only know evil in their hearts. And so oftentimes, bad things happen to good people because bad people do bad things, and we sometimes become the product of that, such as 9/11 or some other things. We live in a world where we live in a world where there's just the weather patterns are set in motion. There's going to be disasters, and I would tell the people in New Orleans, you knew when you lived here, you lived in a fishbowl, and so you knew if there was a flood, you were going to get filled up, and they acknowledge that. I want to encourage you today and say, you know, if you've ever been through anything in your life and you think God caused it and you're blaming God, God does not cause bad things to happen. God is a good God. And so I'm moving along and my life's going pretty good and I'm feeling pretty good about it. And I'm married, and I had an up and down marriage, like everybody does. It was a little bit of a rock and roll experience for me. It wasn't perfect. And I had to learn a lot. And I had to learn, over the years, what it was meant to be a good husband. And I was working hard at it. A marriage takes a lot of work. Takes commitment. It takes, you have to love your spouse more than you love yourself. And so I'm going along. I'm trying to do all these things. And here I am, age 63. I'm married 25 years. And I come home one day. And all of a sudden, my wife says, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be married anymore. I want a divorce. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening. So it was like surreal. And I'm thinking, what? And it was like someone took a baseball bat and just smacked me up the side of my head out of nowhere. I'm thinking, man, I thought things were going pretty good, And so now my life, all of a sudden, here I am, I'm ministering to people whose lives get turned upside down, and I'm teaching them and helping them with all the things I've learned over the years. And now I'm sitting there saying, whoa, man, my life just turned upside down. And my life slowly, all of a sudden, to me, was a train wreck. I'm thinking, I can't believe this is happening to me. And so, and I've been a Christian 25 years, and I love God with all my heart. And then this guy comes up to me, as I'm going through, thinking about this whole thing. These crazy thoughts are coming through my head, and I'm a Christian, and I love God, but I'm hearing these things like, I don't deserve this. I don't know why this is going to happen to me. Why things are going like they are. And then, so I thought, I'm going out tonight, I'm going to get high, I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to go to a bar, I'm going to pick up a chick, I'm going to go to a hotel, and I'm going to have a really great time, and I don't care what anybody else thinks, because I don't deserve this. It was this old rock and roll guy who was coming alive in me. And, I'm doing that, and you say, well, you're a Christian. Christians aren't supposed to think like that. Aren't you guys like kind of holy, godly people? Well, yeah, we work towards that with God's help. But the truth of the matter is, I'm a human being too. I got a heart. I got emotions, and I was feeling rejected, and I was feeling like, I didn't know who to trust anymore. This person that I was with, all of a sudden doesn't want to be with me anymore. But not once could I get up and go down to a bar and pick up a girl someplace and go find myself in a hotel room. I just couldn't do it. Because during those times of my ultimate depression, when I had these wrong thoughts in my head, there was a God in heaven, and he kept me from doing that. And I knew in my relationship with the Lord, see, it was beyond going to church for me. I have a personal love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I love Jesus, there's no way I could imagine myself doing something like that and breaking his heart. And he saved me. He rescued me. And so I moved on in my life, and ultimately, and the disasters of my life. And let me just say, the woman that I married, she's a wonderful woman. She's gifted, she's talented, but something went wrong, something broke someplace. And here I am today, standing before you, and, I'm divorced. But I can say that God, in my most worst of times, he had gotten me through everything. He's a good God. And as I was reading my Bible, and I was crying out to God, and I would cry, and I'd say, God, why did this happen? I don't understand all these things. It was like, and I close and leave you with these couple things that the Lord helped me with. I was reading my Bible one day, and there were two Bible verses that stuck out for me. And one is in Psalm 71, and it says, you have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life once again, and lift me up from the depths of the earth. You will restore me to even greater honor, and comfort me once again. And I found in my ultimate depression of life that I never thought I would experience, in my despair, this God lifted me up, and that when I was down low, he helped me get through my depression and all the struggles I were going through. And then it's so often you hear at a funeral in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and staff, they comfort you. And I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death of a marriage relationship and everything that I had. I lost everything. And as I was walking through that valley, there was a sense of peace that I still had somewhere deep in my heart, that God was with me. I was going to get through this. I didn't fear the future. And so I trusted him. And I can honestly say I'm on the other end of it. And God got me through my difficult time. I just thought this was really weird. You know, my whole life I've been helping people by telling them how God can comfort them and everything I ever learned, but I never really went through it myself. I've never been in a tornado. I've never been on a flood situation. But through my situation in my marriage, I know what it's like to suffer and feel pain that's excruciating and brutal, and God brought me through that. So I'm here to say that there's one thing, that just because you're a Christian, if you make a decision for Christ sometime today, doesn't mean that life is going to be a bed of roses for you. There may be still some struggles and some difficulties in your life, but there's a God in heaven that will get you through every single one of those. See, everybody in life is going to suffer some level of pain, some level of loss. They're going to grieve something in their lifetime. No one will be immune. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on one side of the fence where I didn't have a relationship. I was on the other side of the fence where I came to know Christ, and I came into a relationship with him, and he's given me such great peace and such hope. I was a lost, messed up rock star, and God came into my life to be my star and changed my life today. And God can do that for you today. You know, we go through life and dreams get shattered. Sometimes our dreams can turn into a nightmare. Things will happen to us. Our lives can get broken into pieces. But the Bible says, God says, I bind up your wounds and I heal your broken heart. There's not one thing you can go through in life where when you really trust God with all your heart, that he's not going to heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. I've been there. He's done it in my life. He continues to do that. Jesus Christ died on a cross, the most brutal, painful death that anybody could possibly imagine or comprehend, to pay the price for your sins and mine. So by an act of faith, when we trust him to forgive us of our sins and believe in who he is, the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, then we can know for sure we're going to go to heaven. Jesus knows, who came to love the world and yet was beaten, rejected, mocked, crucified to death on the cross. He knows pain. He knows suffering. He identifies with it. And so I knew when I was going through my struggles that God identified with my pain. He understood it. So I could yell at God. I could scream at God. I could get mad at God. I could be ultimately depressed. God understood. God knew what I needed. And God changed my life. He's never left me. He's never deserted me. Even when I mess up, he's always been with me. He's healed me of my hurt. He continues to heal me. He can do the same for you today. He's radically, radically changed my life. And, you know, our life is just short. The Bible says we're only going to be here for a few short years. 70 or 80 might seem like a lot of years in all eternity. It's just a very short time. And the Bible says when we die, one of these days, we're all going to die. Guaranteed 100%. When we die, we're only going to go to two places, heaven or hell. That's the only two places to go. We're all going to live forever someday. I know you've heard this many times before. But the Bible says God doesn't desire anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. And you can get there by just asking the Lord Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into my life, surrender your life to him, and enter into that relationship with him. And when you do that, the Bible says God washes your heart perfectly clean, white as snow, and acceptable to him. You know, like I said, I broke all the Ten Commandments. I deserve to go to hell. But I know today, when I ask Christ to come into my life, every bad thing I'd ever done in my life, God immediately wiped off out of my life, and he forgot it. He forgiven me. He gave me a new start and a new beginning. One of these days when I die, I know there's not going to be any sorrow, any pain, any misery, any suffering in heaven. This bad stuff is never going to happen. I'll be in a perfect place of paradise. God wants you to be there too as well. So I have just two questions for you. The first one, have you had your dream shattered at some point in your life? Have you been, has something happened in your life that's just rocked your boat? It's messed up your world. You're facing some pain. You're facing some heartache. You're facing some kind of difficulty. And you've talked to people, or maybe you haven't, but you just can't seem to find an answer for what you're going through.
And I promise, if you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will begin to take and make beauty from the ash heap of what's going on in your life. It may take some time. It may not look the way you think it's going to look, but I guarantee you that God will begin to change your life. He'll comfort you. He'll give you peace in the storms of your life that you can't even imagine how that happened, but he'll strengthen you and he'll sustain you. And he'll get you through that, but it begins by surrendering your life to Jesus and giving him complete control of your life, as I did and millions of people had throughout this world. You can make that decision today before you leave this place. And the second question I have for you today is, are you right with God? I mean, look at your heart. Are you really right with God? Are you absolutely sure? If you were to walk out this door and today... anybody can die in an instant. It's just crazy how people can think they're going to live till tomorrow, and then they walk down the street and someone shoots them, or they get a bullet or whatever all that stuff is that's cruising around in the world today. And next thing you know, man, you know, they were here one day and they're gone the next. I know if I walk out that door and someone puts a gun to my head and blows my brains out, or I'm caught in a crossfire walking down the street, or some lunatic shows up, you know, in the mall where I'm at, and I happen to be a victim of a deadly bullet, that I'm going to go right into heaven to be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Do you have that security yourself? See, because it only comes in a relationship with Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. All of us have sinned. No one does good. We're all guilty of our sin. And so God says, I just want you to come in to be in heaven with me. And the way to do that is to ask Christ to come into your life. And you have the opportunity to do that later. When we're done here, you could talk to Charlie or you could talk to me if you want to make that decision. Like I said, I lived on both sides of the fence. I lived 25 years of my life without God, thinking I was a good person, I was going to go to heaven. My life was going to be beautiful, and it got all messed up. And Jesus came into my life and changed it. Now I've lived 25 years, if not more, as a Christian with Jesus Christ at the center of my life. And I'll say that my life... that God is real, and I can't imagine having a life apart from God. He's gotten me through everything, and I trust him with every area of my life. It is without a doubt the most important relationship that I have ever had, and I'll never turn my back on Jesus ever again. So you think about what I've said, and maybe God's speaking to you today, and you want just someone to pray for you, you know, or you'd like to ask God to come in your life because you know your life needs to be changed. Or you sit here today and say, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I want to know for sure. And God will tell you today. He'll make sure today you can know for sure. Thank you so very, very much for taking the time to listen to what I feel is very important for you to hear today. And I hope it brought a little bit of comfort and peace to you to know that, you know, no matter what's going on in a world that's bad, God loves you. He cares about you. God can change anybody's life and anybody's situation if you just put your faith and trust in him. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Charlie?